to come and read the Word of God tonight, you're sure welcome to do that. 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 18 verses tonight. Man, I couldn't wait to get to the house of God. Amen. I've been sitting in my house. I've been sitting more these past 2 days than I have all 10 years. I cannot just sit. I know my wife's excited about me having to do something too. All right, brethren, there's 18 verses, so let's do 6 apiece, okay?
2 Peter chapter 3. This second epistle, beloved, I now write unto you, in both which I stir up your pure minds by way of remembrance, that you may be mindful of the words which were spoken before the holy prophets, and of the commandment of us, the apostles of the Lord and Savior. Knowing this first, that there shall come in the last days scoffers, walking after their own lust, and saying, where is the promise of his coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of creation. For this they willingly are ignorant of, that by the word of God the heavens were of old, and the earth standing out of the water and in the water, whereby the world that then was, being overwhelmed with water, perished. But the heavens and the earth, which are now by the same word, are kept in store, reserved unto fire against the day of judgment and perdition of ungodly men. But, beloved, be not ignorant of this one thing, that one day is with the Lord as a thousand years, and a thousand years as one day.
The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. The earth also and the works that are therein shall be burned up. Seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved, what manner of persons ought ye to be in all holy conversation and godliness? Looking for and hasting unto the coming of the day of God, wherein the heavens being on fire shall be dissolved, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. Nevertheless, we, according to his promise, look for new heavens and a new earth, wherein dwelleth righteousness. Wherefore, beloved, seeing that ye look for such things, be diligent that ye may be found of him in peace, without peace, and blameless.
Man, brother, thank you.
An account that long-suffering of our Lord is salvation, even as our beloved brother Paul, also according to the wisdom given unto him, hath written unto you. As also in all his epistles, speaking of them of these things, which are some things hard to be understood, which they that are unlearned and unstable rest, as they do also the other scriptures, unto their own destruction. Ye therefore, beloved, seeing ye know these things before, beware lest ye also, being led away with the error of the wicked, fall from your own steadfastness. But grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. To him be the glory, both now and forever. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, my brother. All right, so let's turn to Hebrews chapter 11. That's where we are tonight. Stand to our feet if you're not already standing. And in verse 7, we'll read together tonight and we'll bring forth the message. I want to preach on the whole Christian experience. The whole Christian experience. And verse 7 gives us that whole experience in one verse. It says, by faith Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet, moved with fear, prepared an ark to the saving of his house, by the which he condemned the world and became heir of righteousness, which is by faith. Father, I come to you in Jesus' name. Lord, I thank you tonight, Lord, for just the reading of your word. God, the Bible teaches us that the reading of your word is a blessed. Blessed are those who hear the reading. And so tonight, Lord, we've already been blessed. God, we've already sung, we've already prayed, we've already read, we've already gathered together, Lord, in your name. And so tonight, Lord, we're asking for help, guidance, and wisdom. Father, we come tonight hungry and thirsty. Father, we come tonight, dear God, wanting to empty ourselves from this world and of ourselves. God, that you may fill us with your Spirit. God, you may give us wisdom, knowledge, and understanding. God, that we may make application to our lives and we might be able to live the Christian life as you see fit. Father, I pray we'll surrender to you, Lord, as you bring conviction to our hearts. And God, as you bring comfort, we pray, God, that we would just walk with you as we ought to. Thank you for all that it come out tonight. I know it's cold. I know it's raining. God, I know, dear God, the last few days has been challenging. And so, Lord, I'm grateful tonight for every single soul, God, here tonight. Bless them. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. The whole Christian experience, I see Noah being that man. I notice that Noah is one tonight that is very well known. Everybody seems to know Noah. Noah's stories seem to be the greater stories of our youngsters as far as primary and teaching young people. We always talk about Noah and the flood. We talk about the animals. We talk about how the ark was built and the windows and how two by two of the animals that came in. So it's a familiar story, but there's a whole lot behind it as well. And so tonight I want you to see what I see, what the Lord's laid on my heart. I've read verse 7 probably, I don't know, this past couple of days, maybe 100 times. And as I'm reading it, I'm thinking, Lord, you want me to preach a message on Wednesday night out of Hebrews chapter 11, verse 7, or do you? I'm not real sure. And so I just could not get anything together. I couldn't put anything in order. It just seemed to be a real battle. And then last night, about 10 o'clock, I said, Lord, we just need to get together and figure out what we're going to do about this Hebrews chapter 11, verse 7. And God began to show me some things that I don't know if I've ever seen before, but I'm excited about new things. Amen. I know there's nothing new under the sun. I know I'm not going to preach anything out of the Bible that nobody's ever preached. We've been preaching a long time. And so we know, but there's some things to me that are new. And maybe some things that are you that are new as well. But the experience tonight of a Christian, the first thing that he had to do and that we have to do to define an experience as a Christian is believing in God. Believing in God. We see that there in verse 6 of Genesis. So turn there with me. We'll come back to Hebrews chapter 11. But all the details are back in Genesis. Genesis chapter 6. And there, look at about verse 8. That Noah tonight, who is the one who's up front with us tonight, believed in God. And believing in God, he believed in an ungodly world. He believed God in an ungodly world. Now that's important tonight because many people say that they can't believe in God because the world's too bad. Or they can't live a Christian life because of all the influences, temptations that are brought. People say, well, I can't walk with God, or I can't live for the Lord, or I can't stay out of this sin, I can't get rid of this addiction, I can't seem to get to church, I can't seem to do right, I can't seem to just stay on track because my friends, or because of the influences, or because of my relatives, or my work, or it's just something all the time. And yet, in the midst of this day, Noah believed God. In an ungodly world. I notice in verse 6, and or chapter 6, verse 8 says, but Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. These are the generations of Noah. Noah was a just man and perfect in his generations, and Noah walked with God. Now he believed God in an ungodly world. Why? Because he received God's grace. You see that in verse 8. The Bible says, but Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. Noah was one who received the grace of God. He's the one that God extended grace to him. God extended grace to Noah, and Noah received it. Noah says yes to God. Noah but put his faith in God. Noah trusted in the Lord God tonight. The Bible says that now has he received God's grace and that he was found grace in the eyes of the Lord. But he lived by God's grace. We see that as well. He was made right with God. There in verse 9 it says Noah was a just man. The word just there, it means one who's been made right. One who's been justified by God. One who's been declared righteous. Who's been rendered innocent. That's what that word means. No, Noah wasn't perfect. And Noah wasn't the one where you could say that he was the only one out there that was living a sinless life. That's not true. The Bible says just. He was a just man. It was that God extended his grace to Noah. Noah received God's grace. And then Noah lived by that grace. And living by that grace, God was looked upon him. He rendered him. He declared him. He proclaimed that he is right and innocent, and that he as God would look upon Noah, and in his grace, Noah lived as a man that was made right with God. Noah didn't get right with God; God made him right with God. Amen. And all of us are the same tonight. None of us get right with God. It's God that makes us right. It's God that declares us righteous. It's a God that declares us innocent. It's God that renders us to be just as if we've never sinned before. That's how just would work tonight. As it worked with him, it works with us that way as well. So he made him right with God. Number two, he was made complete in God. That word perfect there doesn't mean sinless. It just means that he was made complete with God. It means that he was without blemish. It means that he was completed in God. He was full with God. He was upright and whole. There's nothing that that Noah was lacking in his Christian life. There was nothing Noah was missing in his spiritual walk. Nothing that Noah could ever look at and say, you know what? God hasn't made me right, or God hasn't made me complete. I'm still missing some things. No, Noah was a man that was a just man. And the Bible says he was perfect in his generation. He was just made complete in God. He had no need of the world. He had no need of the things of the world. He was full and fine with God. He was satisfied with the Lord. He was just fine with God. He didn't need all the outside. God was enough for Noah. Amen. And so that's what it means tonight for you and I to believe in God in an ungodly world. He received God's grace. He lived by God's grace. But then he enjoyed God's grace. Look at this in verse 9. The Bible said Noah walked with God. He enjoyed God's grace. He talked to God. He listened to God. God talked to him. He had fellowship with God. He had communion with God. I mean, where he went, God went with him. And wherever God went, Noah was there with him. And so there was a great relationship, great friendship. There was a great fellowship taking place between God and Noah. You see, it was God's grace that brought all that to be. It was God's grace and that he received. It was God's grace that he lived just and perfect. And it was God's grace that he walked with God. You see, Noah believed God in an ungodly world. And so can you. Tonight, we have no excuse. Tonight, you and I have no way of explaining to God why we can't be just and why we can't walk with God and why we can't be just complete with God. Noah did, and we can. Amen? And so we see that he believed in God in an ungodly world. Number two, though, I notice that believing God in an ungodly world, I notice that he believed God with an unheard of warning. An unheard of warning. I notice that he began to tell in verse 13, he says this, "And God said unto Noah, the end of all flesh is come before me, for the earth is filled with violence through them, and behold, I will destroy them with the earth." What a warning. Now, there in Genesis chapter 6, we just read that, and I'm going to go back to Hebrews. You don't have to. I'll read it for you. I just want you to see the scripture. It says, by faith, Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet. And so God said to Noah, I am going to destroy this earth. And I am going to destroy them with the earth. And so it's not just the earth that's going to be destroyed. It's not just them, but it's going to be both. Well, that was an unheard of warning. Never before has Noah ever heard God say that he was going to destroy the world or destroy people, destroy the earth. And so the reason why God said that is because there in verse 5 it says, and God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. It repented the Lord that he had made man on the earth, and it grieved him at his heart. And the Lord said, I will destroy man whom I have created from the face of the earth, both man and beast and the creeping thing, the fowls of the air, for it repenteth me that I have made them. God not only is going to destroy this earth, but he's going to destroy man. He's going to destroy the creatures that he created. He's going to destroy the earth in the way that it was. So this was unheard of. But it was Noah that believed God of the unheard of warning. Now, we can go through the scripture. Not going to take time tonight, but God gives so many warnings. So many things that God says, brethren, I'd have you not be ignorant of. There's so many places in the scripture where they begin to tell that I want you to know, or this is something that you need to know. And so we find lots of things that God is speaking to us as Christians that are unheard of. That hasn't happened just yet. It will happen, but it hasn't just yet. And so with that being said, we as Noah are told some things that are unheard of that's going to take place in the future that we haven't looked upon or seen yet. But Noah believed God in it. Number three, I noticed that Noah believed God on unseen water. Believed God on unseen water. Not only unheard of warning, an ungodly world, but I notice in verse 17, he says, and behold, I do bring a flood of waters. Now, nobody knew what that meant. Only God. Noah's never seen a raindrop. Noah has never seen a flood. Noah didn't know nothing about no thunderstorm. He didn't know anything about just a rain. He didn't know anything of those natures. Never before. And God said, I will bring a flood of waters upon the earth to destroy all flesh, wherein is the breath of life from under heaven, and everything that is in the earth shall die. So there's going to be waters coming above. There's going to be waters coming from beneath. This is going to be a deluge of water, and it's going to flood, and it's going to flood the whole world, and the whole world will be changed for all of eternity, and all that are within it will die, and all that I've created will have no breath within them. Can you imagine what Noah is thinking? Can you imagine what Noah is just saying, man, I have never heard of this flood. I've never heard of this water. In other words, what God was saying to him was unimaginable. Unimaginable. It was also unbelievable. He's never heard that before. And it's also unthinkable that God would now destroy the whole world. He'd destroy all that he created. And then he will do it with a water, with a flood. It don't seem like it could be happened. Don't seem like it took place. It don't seem like it's real. But you know what Noah did? Noah believed it. He just believed it. He believed what God said. He believed, just as we do today, that Jesus is real. Just like we do today, that Jesus is returning. Just like we believe today that Jesus is revealing. 2 Peter chapter 3. What we just read just a while ago. Chapter 3. I want you to read a few verses there with me this evening. This is what's going to happen in the future. Unseen. Unheard of. It's 2 Peter chapter 3. in verse 10. But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in the which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, that the elements shall melt with fervent heat. The earth also and the works that are therein shall be burned up. Unbelievable. Is that true? Unimaginable. I mean, unthinkable. I mean, just as he told them about the flood, we are looking at the same warning. We're looking at the same unseen and unheard. And we're listening to God say to us that someday, one day, that this earth is going to be burned up. Now, when he's talking about the element shall burn with fervent heat. He's not just talking about there's going to be great ash, big old mound of ash out here. He's talking about it's all going to be so hot and so consuming that even the ash is gone. The elements. There'll be nothing left when God gets done with this earth. All that are on it and all things that are of it are going to be completely removed by fire. Do you believe it? Do you believe it tonight? Same place that Noah was with the flood. We find in verse 11, it says, seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved. Dissolved. Not just burned up. Not just in ashes. Not just unrecognizable. Nothing out of a different form or different look. Dissolved. What manner of persons ought you to be in all holy conversation and godliness, looking for and hasting unto the coming day of God, wherein the heavens being on fire shall be dissolved, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. Nevertheless, we, according to this promise, look for a new heavens and a new earth wherein dwelleth righteousness. Unheard of. Unheard of. A new heaven? Explain that. A new earth? Explain that. This earth that we lived on, it's been here for some almost 6,000 years now in the way of the creation. We find that now it's going to just be burned up. It's just going to be dissolved. The elements are going to be fervent, burned with fervent heat. And so we got to come to a conclusion tonight. Are we just going to believe that? Are we just going to say, God, you're right? You were right with Noah in the day of the flood, and so you're going to be right with the day of the fire. So we find tonight, I'm talking about the whole experience, believing God. Believing God. Tonight. And so we see tonight that Matthew 24, verse 35 says, heaven and earth shall pass away. That's the very time they're talking about the tribulation period. Jesus is speaking. And then here in this 2 Peter talks about heaven and earth. And then he talks about it there as well. So Jesus is referring to that same time when the heaven and earth shall be dissolved. And so we find tonight that there is a belief in God. And so the whole experience with as a Christian tonight, must begin with the belief of God. And that is tonight that you and I would be believing God, receiving of God's grace, and then we would live in God's grace, and then we would walk in God's grace, and we would do that in an ungodly world. Amen? And then, secondly, that we would not only believe in God for an ungodly world, but we'd believe in God for unheard warnings and unseen fire or flood tonight or water. Number two, now do we find that this Christian life or the whole Christian life experience is upon believing in God, but it's with building with God. Building with God. I see there in this verse 17 back there into Genesis. Genesis chapter 6 and verse 17. He says the same thing in Hebrews chapter 11, and I'll read it to you. Verse 7, it says, moved with fear, preparing an ark to the saving of his house. Moved with fear, preparing an ark. Now remember now, he is believing God, and now he's about to build with God. Tonight, that's the Christian experience. You believe God, but you begin to build with God. You don't just believe God and then God's over in the distance somewhere. You don't just believe God and God says, okay, you're on your own. That's not how this works in the Christian life. The real Christian life is this tonight, is you believe God and then you build with God. God begins to build. You begin to build. You have a whole lot of things in your life that you're going to have to build. And God's going to help you with that building. I notice he was moved with fear, prepared an ark. So we find that Noah is building. He's about to build. And before he builds, though, I want you to notice the first thing he did is he moved. He moved. And so that meant tonight, as you look there in that Hebrews chapter 11, verse 7, he says he moved with fear. That means when God said to Noah, you are going to understand that I'm going to destroy the whole world and everything on it, and I'm going to do it by water. And so, Noah, what I need you to do is I need you to make a ark, verse 14, make thee an ark of gopher wood. Okay? So what did Noah do? I'm talking about the Christian walk or the Christian experience. Once you believe in God, and once you now understand that you're fixing to build with God, you are responsible for the first move. You got to move. He told Noah, he said, you build an ark. The flood is coming. The water is on its way. Judgment is about to take place. And you have to build the ark. God wasn't going to build the ark. God didn't take a hammer and God didn't get out there and with nails and into slime and put it all together. No, he told Noah, you got to build an ark. It's coming. And so Noah had to move. In the Christian life tonight, we got to move. Too many people are lazy. Too many people are waiting on God. Too many people say, well, when God tells me, or when God shows me, or when God lets me know, I'll get it done. No. You've got to move. And so I noticed tonight in his moving, there was no doubting. I don't see any kind of understanding or clarity concerning these things here that I see him doubting. He didn't doubt. When God said, you make me a ark, what is that? Out of gopher wood. Okay? And in that, I want you to take this pitch within it and without pitch. And this fashion which thou shalt make of it, the length of the ark shall be 300 cubits, and the breadth of it 50 cubits, and the height of it 30 cubits, and a window shall thou make in the ark, a cubit shall thou finish it above, and the door of the ark shall set in the side thereof, with a lower second, and the third story shall thou make it. Sure, no problem. I've never made an ark before. And you're asking me to make it out of gopher wood, and you're asking me to put this slime in on the in and out, and then you tell me it's going to be a fashion like this, and it's going to be three stories, and you want the window here, and you want the door here, and sure, whatever you want, God. You see, that's the move that you have to make. As a Christian walk with God, and a Christian life with God, God sets out the parameters, God sets out the criteria, God sets out the plan, and you have to move. And so we find that he began to move. He didn't doubt it. He wasn't wondering. He wasn't arguing. He wasn't resting. He wasn't over, you know, it's too much. I mean, it's like today in our society today, if God would have said that to some of us, we would have stressed out. We would have went on an eating binge. I mean, we would have went to the TV and we would have just been right on TV. But we didn't hit the Facebook. We didn't hit the Twitter. We didn't hit all this social media. We done called up our friends. You know what God asked me to do? He asked me to make of an ark. Have you ever heard of an ark before? No. He said, I want it three stories, and then he wants a window up there and a door on the side. Man, I don't know what to do. God said that. And we would have went to a therapist, and we went to a counselor, and we went to got some medicine. We just would have did a lot of things tonight. But, you know, Noah just believed God, and he understood I'm working with God now. I'm building with God. I'm building. We're in building now. He did it to honor of God. He did it to with respect of God. It says he moved with fear. That word fear means honor. And so when he began to move to build this ark that he didn't know anything about, he did it with honor. He said, I get to work with God. I'm fixing to do something with God. And you know what? I am going to do it with a fear, not a fear of failing, not a fear of being ignorant of it, not a fear of messing up, but a fear that I'm going to bring honor to God in making this ark. That word fear means respect. I'm going to do it with respect of God. When I get done with this ark, it's going to honor my God. It's going to bring respect to Him. It means reverence tonight. That word fear means reverence. I am going to bring forth a reverence to my God because me and Him are going to build together something that I don't even know what it is. It don't matter if I know what it is. If I don't even know where to go, if I don't even know how to do it, if I don't know even what to say, it don't matter. That's not important. Just move. Amen. Just move. This is the Christian experience, is building with God, and you have to move. Number two, you have to manufacture. He says there in that verse, chapter 11, verse 6, he said, he prepared an ark. He prepared an ark. He manufactured. This ark that was built, he, Noah, manufactured it. Right? God didn't manufacture this ark. Noah did. Now, God gave him some plans. And so the work or the manufacturing that he was doing was according to God's plan. We read that already in verses 14 through 16. God said, this is where I want it. This is how I like it. This is how I want it to be. This is the size of it, the height, the width, the length. This is where the window, this is where the door. Everything's going to be just the way I want it, but you're going to be doing all the work. And so he worked according to God's plans. And that's how you're going to work. When God tells you to build an ark, God's going to say to you to do it, and you got to build it. Here's the plans. Here's how you build an ark. Now go build it. Amen? Number two, not only is the work according to God's plans, but I want you to notice the home according to God's promises. Look at verse 16. I'm sorry, verse 18. He says, but with thee I will establish my covenant, and thou shalt come into the ark, thy sons, thy wife, thy sons' wives with thee. And of every living thing of all flesh, two of every sort shall bring into the ark to keep them alive with thee. They shall be male and female. Now the fowls after their kind and cattle after their kind of creeping thing of the earth after his kind, two of every sort shall come unto thee to keep them alive. And to take thou unto thee of thy all food that is eaten, thou shalt gather it to thee, and it shall be for food for thee and for them. Thus did Noah according to all that God commanded him, so did he. And the Lord said unto Noah, come thou and all thy house, into the ark. So God is saying to Noah, he said, listen, in this Christian experience here, you need to build an ark, and you need to build it for your house. You need to build it for your home. Because, see, in this ark is going to be a place where your family, your home, your house will be. And so we find the home according to God's promises. It's a faith in depravity. We've seen that already. He had a faith in depravity. But then he had a family in destruction. See, the world's coming to an end. God said, build an ark. The world is about to experience something it's never experienced before. God said to Noah, You have to build a house. You have to get out and manufacture this place. Noah's God in the promises that God gave Noah that you and your family will come through this destruction. You and your family will come out of this flood. You and your family will be rescued through this damnation. Because of the evil, because of the wickedness, because of the depravity of man, I have now decided to destroy all the earth and everything there within except you, Noah, and your family. Here's how it works tonight. We know the Lord's coming. We know the world's going to end. We know that. And so tonight in our Christian life, we have to build an ark right here amongst us tonight so that our family survives. Nobody's going to build your ark. If you don't build an ark where your son and daughter and wife and husband and any other family members that may be part of that is going to survive the end or going to come out of the ungodliness, you're going to have to build it. You've got to build it. You've got to build such a home that God's, Noah's God, is the only true living God that there is. And then secondly, that Noah's walk is the only salvation of God. And Noah's way is the only way of salvation. Noah for 120 years preached righteousness. The Bible says he condemned the world. And while he's building this ark, and while he's doing the work of God, and while he's building this ark so that his family could come in, while the world's being destroyed by water, his family's saved. Noah built that ark. And you and I tonight have to build an ark for our family. We have to learn and understand that the world is ungodly. And we have to know that the world is coming to a place of fire. And we got to know that the world is going to be condemned. We got to know that the world tonight is all going to be against God. But you and I, as a Christian tonight, and the whole experience that God's allowed us to live, is every single day of our lives, we're building a home that will survive the damnation that's coming. Wow. That's pretty interesting. And that's why when our children are not saved tonight, it breaks the heart of the home builder. When those children who don't care to come to church, those children who don't care about the things of God, those children who have been taught and told and they've learned and they have just completely become rebellious and become stubborn toward the things of God, it just tears the heart of mom and daddy who has built the ark. Heartbreak. Heartbreak tonight. We find a work that's according to God's plans, a home according to God's promises. And then we notice a life according to God's principles. The Bible says in chapter 7, verse 1, it says, "And the Lord said unto Noah, Come thou and all thy house into the ark, for thee have I seen righteous before me in this generation." Noah's life was according to God's principles. And God said, "I have seen you righteous." You see, tonight, do we not only have a responsibility to work, we have a responsibility to build a home called an ark. And we have a responsibility to have a life that God looks upon and says, "I have seen that you've been righteous. Come. Come." 120 years from now, it's going to be destroyed. And you've built an ark. How are you doing on your ark tonight? How's your family doing? How many are saved and how many are lost? How many tonight know that Jesus Christ is the only way to heaven? How many tonight know that the God that you serve is no other God beside Him? You see, there was nobody in that day of Noah who lived outside the ark. You notice that? So if you don't get on board with your parents, whose God is the Lord, whose salvation is through Christ, and who they began to build this ark in the midst of this destruction, you're going to get left out in destruction. There's no other way. There's only one ark. There's only one God. There's only one way of survival, only one way of salvation. There's only one way to get through this judgment. And it's your mom and daddy who's built the ark. You say, well, I'm not going to listen. I'm not going to believe what they believe. Well, then you're going to die and go to hell. You say, I'm not going to follow them in the home and what they say. We have to pray. We have to read our Bible. We have to do right. And we get punished when we do wrong. I don't want to do it that way. Then you're going to lose out the way. Noah had one way. It was God's way. Noah tonight built an ark. And it was in that ark that when the floods came, that they were saved. And so tonight, we find that there is a manufacturing. There is a move. Can I say here thirdly, there's a mastering. The Bible says that Noah in chapter 11 in verse 7, he condemned the world. He condemned the world. He won. He mastered. He overcame. He was right. In 2 Peter chapter 2, turn there with me tonight. 2 Peter chapter 2. And look there in that verse 5. It said, spare not the old world, but save Noah, the eighth person, a preacher of righteousness, bringing in the flood upon the world of the ungodly. So he was a preacher of righteousness. He was a man that proclaimed God is right. Proclaimed that you have to become made righteous. You got to become just by God rendering you right, rendering you justice. You're going to have to come to a place where you got to turn from your sin and receive Jesus as Lord and Savior, or you're part of the ungodly. The Bible says he condemned the world. How did he condemn the world? He didn't condemn the world by telling the world they're all going to die and go to hell. He condemned the world by God telling him to build an ark because there's going to be water that's going to bring a flood and all the world's going to be destroyed except Noah and his. The whole world was condemned now. You see, mom and daddy who knows the truth and mom and daddy who's living the truth and mom and daddy who loves the Lord and mom and daddy who's trying to teach you how to live for God and how to love the Lord and how to die and go to heaven tonight is not teaching you these things to brainwash you and not teaching these things so that they can get a hold of your life or not teaching these things so you won't have no fun out in the world. They're teaching these things because the condemning of the world is the proof of how they're living and what they're teaching. You got a choice tonight. Either you do as the one who builds the ark does, or you're condemned. You say, that's like a one-way street, Brother Larry. It is a one-way street. You say, well, Brother Larry, it don't seem to be fair. You know, don't I have choices? Yeah, you have a choice. Heaven or hell. You or Jesus. To get in the ark or get out, stay out of the ark. Condemned the world by doing what was right. Condemned the world by preaching what was right. Condemned the world by doing what God asked him to do. And condemned the world by finishing what God asked him to finish. That condemned the world. The whole world outside that ark was in the flood and went to hell. Everybody inside the ark was saved. So that just condemned the world tonight. You that are mom and daddies tonight, teaching the truth, reading the Bible, living for God, being faithful to the church, and doing the things that are necessary and approved by God, and things that bring a pleasure upon the Lord and a delight toward our God tonight, don't put your head down. Don't be ashamed. Don't say it's not working. Don't say, well, you know, I'm trying to do that all I can do. I think I'm just going to throw my hands up, throw out the white flag, and say, you know what? I just can't do it no more. Don't do that. You keep on building the ark. You keep on telling the truth. You keep on preaching righteousness. You keep on doing the things you're doing. And you keep on living for God. And at the end of the day, you'll find that God will bless you as He did Noah. And so tonight we see that he mastered. Noah was right. Noah was preaching righteousness, and at the end, he was right. You are right, Mom and Daddy, by preaching and teaching the Word of God. You're right by living for God. You're right. You've overcome. Don't give in to the kids. Don't give in to the family. Don't give in to the relatives. Don't give in to the co-workers and to the neighbors. Don't give in to the ungodly and to the unsaved tonight. You keep on. You have won. You are right. In 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 20, his name is raised up again. The Bible says, when sometime we're disobedient, which sometime were disobedient when once the long-suffering of God waited in the days of Noah while the ark was preparing, wherein a few, that is 8 souls, were saved by water. So God was waiting 120 years, waiting, waiting, waiting. He was still building, 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 condemning the world, condemning the world, preaching righteousness that God is right. This is right. You better believe this. God's warning. There's coming a judgment. You better get in. You better get in. At the end of the day, Noah mastered. He was right. You're right. It may not look like you're right tonight. It may look like you get a push from people around you. You might be seem like the people make fun of you. Even your children turn against you. Even when they become adults and they leave your God and they leave your church and they leave your Bible tonight. Don't stop building. Don't. You're right. You've mastered. His faith, his work, his family, his life. Noah proved to the world that living and loving God is the way of salvation on the earth and going to heaven. Noah proved that. You're proving that too. And so tonight, if you're in his room and you're a child or you're a young person, you're living in a home that mom and dad's trying to build an ark, trying to teach you the things of God, trying to lead you to Christ, trying to bring you to the place that the world is going to die without God someday and be burned up. Why do you keep on rebelling against them? Why do you keep on being stubborn towards them? Why do you keep on saying, I don't want to go to church? Why do you keep on saying that I don't want to do the things that mom and daddy want me to do? Why do they want me to live this life? Because this life is right. There's the ungodly, condemned. There's the righteous, approved. Won't you come to Jesus tonight? Won't you get in the ark that mom and daddy's trying to build? And then here thirdly tonight, and I got to close. Now, do I notice a believing in God and a building with God, but I notice a becoming of God. There in our text in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 7 says, last portion, and became heir of the righteousness which is by faith. Becoming of God. He became. Noah didn't make himself. Noah didn't create himself. Noah became of God because this is what made him righteous was faith. 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 It was faith that made him righteous. It was that created him. Who created Noah? It was faith. Faith in God. That's how he became of God. How did Noah, was he gave him righteousness? I mean, you take Noah tonight and you say that, boy, Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. How? Faith. You say, well, Noah was one that was just and perfect in his generation. There was nobody else spoken of. How? He became of God by faith. I mean, why would God choose Noah? of all the people, well, because there was no other one that had faith but Noah. Noah, he became of God by faith. He was the heir of righteousness, which was by faith. Heir of righteousness. A partaker of righteousness. A partner. A lot. That word heir would be something that you get a lot for, or that you would get some inheritance for. An heir of God. Joint heirs with Christ. An heir tonight. Heir of righteousness. You became one who just received righteousness through the faith of God tonight. And boy, the Bible teaches you and I tonight that we become of God. And if we become of God, then we can do what Noah did. We can be as Noah is. And we can live a life that would bring glory to God as Noah did. Building an ark. Continuing to build an ark until God brought forth the flood. Amen? And so, boy, when the flood came, Noah and his ark was saved. Tonight, that's what we have to do. I'm talking about just the whole experience of being a Christian tonight. The only way to become righteous is to become an heir of righteousness. Tonight, the Bible says in Galatians chapter 3, let me read this to you tonight and we'll close. Verse 29, if you be Christ, then are you Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. Heirs. That's what you want to be tonight. You want to be an heir. Hebrews chapter 1 and verse 2. The Bible says, hath in these last days spoken to us by his Son, who he hath appointed heir of all things, to whom also he made the worlds. An heir. Don't you want to be an heir tonight of righteousness? Oh, we see that the whole experience as a Christian is to believe in God, is to build with God, and then become of God. When it's all said and done, when God's done built my ark, I've done built with God, and God did all these things in our lives, then we become an heir. I tell you, it's a wonderful thing to be a Christian. No greater decision that I made my entire life than becoming a Christian. Now, I failed in building the ark. I failed in the work. I have failed in so many areas and so many places tonight. It's pathetic. And because of that tonight, not a very good Christian. Not a very one tonight that I could say that I have been all that I ought to have been. Oh, but there's one thing tonight that I know. I know that I'm in an ark. And I know that God will see me through any judgment or damnation that may come our way. Parents, I want to say to you, keep on building. To you children tonight, I want to say to you, you better get in the ark. There's no other way. The fire is coming. The fire is coming. Let's stand to our feet, our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed. Any prayer requests here tonight?